Any praises in the house this morning? Anybody came to give God a shout of praise? Has God done anything for you in the last 24 hours? You can look up to heaven and say, it has not been for the Lord who was on your side.
Yes, Lord.
Our God is good, and He is great and greatly to be praised, church.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord this morning. And the Word of God said He saw that they were in serious trouble.
My Lord. Yes.
Rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror. For they were all terrified when they saw him. Just for a little while, if you would just kind of walk with me through the sermonic theme of the God who sees you. Or, I got an alternative. Simply, He sees you. He sees you.
Yes, sir.
Let us pray. Gracious and kind and loving Father, we do thank you, Lord. We welcome you into this place. Let your spirit, O God, pervade in the hearts of your people, that they may know that you are with them. Now, God, I'm asking a special anointing this morning that will make preaching easy. Hallelujah. Let your spirit rest upon me, O God, that I may preach a word that people will not hear or see me, but they will hear and see you through me. Truly, it is in the name of Jesus that I ask this prayer this morning. Gird me up, Lord. Hallelujah. That your people might be better for having come this way. Thank you, Lord. And the people just said, amen and amen. Bless God. Can I just say for a minute here that lately I have had a bit of a fascination, you might say, Sister Brand, with the miracles that Jesus performed while physically present. That while Jesus was walking and talking and breathing and eating and living on earth during his 3-year ministry, amen, somebody, I don't know, some of you might recall that the first Sunday of last month, my message was simply the God who heals. Somebody might remember that, amen, and that was a miracle that Jesus did while he healed people from Matthew, the 14th chapter, and I simply just lifted up verses 34, 35, and 36. People who came to him who said, if I but could just touch the very fringe of his robe, come on somebody, they knew and understood that if they could touch him, that they might be cured of their disease. From what it looked like, the people didn't have a fancy medical institution. They didn't have world-renowned doctors in their presence. But can you tell somebody, Dr. Jesus was in the neighborhood? Oh, God. God. But what it looked like, they figured out that Jesus was their only hope of ever getting well, and ever getting better and becoming whole, mind, body, and spirit. That was where many of them were. Now, I can't really explain with any real measure of certainty, my brothers and sisters, what has caused me to start flipping through the gospel writers and reading and studying these miracles to see how Jesus had impacted the people, the very people that he came to save. Those who were considered less than, those who were marginalized, unseen, and untouched. Come on and walk with me, y'all. Perhaps this stems from looking around the globe and seeing so many, Sister Elaine, so many people, places, and predicaments that could use a right now miracle. I've seen it. I know you have too. But maybe, Pastor Keith, should I consider that I have looked at my own set of issues, come on somebody, and decided a miracle would be just what I need to boost my own faith? I'm just saying. You see, although I don't know everything, there's one or two things that I do know, and that is miracles do not happen on demand. They don't happen on demand. By their very definition, a miracle is an extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. I got that from dictionary.com. Miracles really are considered a work of God.
Amen.
I think we all agree on that. If we pick up our Bibles in the Amplified Version, we will see that in John, the second chapter, verse number 11, it proclaims that this is, in other words, speaking of Jesus turning water into wine, was the first of his sign that attested to his miracles. Am I talking to anybody? Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and that miracle revealed his glory. In other words, it displayed his deity and his great power, and his disciples believed him as Messiah. Oh yeah, we gotta see him for who he is. In other words, we can ask, we can wish, we can hope, and we can even pray for miracles, but sometimes we gotta understand that a miracle is totally under God's control, and he does them when, how, where, and for whom he sees fit. I think I'm telling the truth this morning. You see, the text in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6 and verses 45 through 42, is but one area that demonstrates the miracle-working power of Jesus. It is here that we witness through the pen of Mark that night when Jesus walked on the water. Are you all with me so far? I don't want to leave nobody behind. You see, that is still a mind-blowing, eye-popping, jaw-dropping kind of a situation that still grabs our attention. At least I hope it grabs yours just like it grabs mine. I admit that I marvel at the thought of watching anybody do this. You see, because we know that water, I'm talking regular plain old water, that is not frozen, is impossible to walk on.
That's right.
However, if we read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, it tells the same story as Mark, but what we will see is that Peter got out of the boat, come on somebody, and walked on the water normal, on a regular day, Pastor Keith. There would never be any expectation that we as mere humans would be able to stand up for any reasonable length of time and walk on a liquid like water. Check this out, y'all. Unless we were able to defy what is natural with another force that's supernatural. I'm teaching something this morning. You see, along with this awesome display of power, what I want to draw our attention to this morning is what was happening, Reverend Veronica, to his disciples while they were out on the boat, witnessing this walking on water miracle. You see, it is my hope and my prayer that I can draw you in to this text and have you see you in the book. I'm just trying to help you all to visualize what it might have been like. Oh God. And so as a bit of a prelude to the text, we see that Jesus tells his disciples to get back in the boat and to head across the lake while he gets the people situated and prepared to go back home that he just fed the over 5,000 folks with a little boy's lunch. But while the disciples were on their way and the people were heading back home full of fish, you all know how it is when you had a good meal and you got your belly full and then you're ready to go home. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus went off by himself to pray. Y'all check me out now. Make sure I'm telling it right. You see, the Bible does not tell us what he prayed about. It doesn't give us that. It doesn't tell us who he prayed for, Deaconess Patrice, or even how long he prayed. We don't have any of those details. What we know is late that night, while the disciples were in the middle of the lake, Jesus was alone on the lake. I gotta set it up for you so you can understand where we're headed. You see, I don't know if you all caught it or not in the text, but Mark gives us enough detail, Pastor Keith, about the position of the boat that lets me know that this is a perfect setup for a distress call.
Yes.
You see, Mark says, y'all get this. Mark says that they were in the middle of the lake. Matthew 14:24 says that they were far away from land. That means they had gotten to a point, you all, they had gotten to a point where they had gotten too far to turn around. Yet they were not close enough to the shore to step out on dry land. Oh, God. See, that'll get you every time when you get like that. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. And so have you ever, is my question. Somebody hear this. Have you ever been in a space where the wind and the waves of life began to blow on you and you were too far to turn around, but not far enough to feel safe from the storm? Am I helping anybody this morning? If not, I'll just take my stuff and go on back home. But have you ever been in a situation where a storm snuck up on you? You didn't see that thing coming, Minister Matt. You didn't know what was coming. To where you didn't know what to do. You didn't know who to call. And it looked like you were about to be a casualty in your situation. You were about to say, as our old dearly departed it. Can I tell you? See, you had no idea that the job would fold, and you just bought the house. Just a few days ago, you know, the people down in Texas are experiencing some serious flooding, So they interviewed one man, and he said the water was rising so fast and so furious in my house. He said, I saw my refrigerator float through my house. Ah, God. He said, and then I knew it was time to jump ship. We better get out of here if we're going to survive this. You see, that is a result of a natural storm. And a whole lot we can do about those natural storms. God, I didn't come here this morning to weigh you down. I didn't stop by the house to discourage you, but I came to help you to deal with the storms in your life. I know there isn't much that we can do except prepare all we can for a natural storm that comes our way, but I can help you with the aid of the Word of God to help you to survive a spiritual storm. On the 48th verse in the text, and we look at the A clause, we will see that where I get the sermonic theme from for this morning, and it will bring me to my first point. Are you ready? Are you ready? The first point is know that Jesus has perfect vision. You see, verse 48, the eighth clause says, he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. Are you all in the boat? I just need to know who's struggling, who's rowing hard this morning. You see, I've seen a lot of artist renditions of what they think Jesus may have looked like. I mean, I've seen him black. I've seen him white. I've seen him brown. I've seen him with long hair. I've seen him even with curly hair. But the one thing is a Jesus wearing glasses. I've never seen a rendition where he is either putting in or taking out contact lenses. Oh, God. Jesus. I said, my Jesus needs no assistance with his vision, because his vision is already perfect. Oh God, somebody needed that this morning. But y'all check out the text. The text says that it is 3:00 in the morning.
Wow.
And he is on the land. And yet his disciples are on the middle of the lake. They have gone too far to turn back. And they are too far from the shore to step out of the boat on dry land. Because of the time of the morning, I'm certain that it is pitch black outside on the lake. Anybody with me? You all know I'm usually up at about 3 or so in the morning every Sunday morning preparing myself for worship. And I look outside of the window and it's dark. Anybody who might be out there might can see me, but I can't see outside to see anybody. I'm talking about you can't see your hand in front of your face, kind of dark. Anybody ever been in that kind of a dark situation? I can't imagine. I can't imagine that in the time of this text that there was any type of lighting on the boat that will allow them to see Jesus better than what they had. They just didn't have a flashlight. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have any of those things where you could light it up and Jesus could see them. But Mark says, check it out, Sister Monica, that Mark says that he saw that they were in serious trouble. Waves were just too much. Come on, my transparent saints this morning. Have you ever been in that situation where the wind and the waves are just too much? I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but you better know that when we are in serious trouble, God sees us. It really is the trick of the enemy, Sister Benita, to make us think that Jesus doesn't care and we are all alone in our predicament. But I came to set the record straight this morning that we are being tracked and we are being traced by the Master who sees us no matter what. The writer in Psalms 33:13 in the Amplified Bible reminds us that the Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all of the sons of man. He sees us. Lift up your head, people. Lift up your head because Jesus has perfect vision. I got something else to tell you, Pastor Keith. Pastor Keith, let me tell you my second point. I want you all to know that Jesus will go to great lengths to rescue us. When we fall, then our eyes fall on the 48 verse clause B, it says that about 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, comma. Don't miss the point. Comma.
Yeah.
Not period.
That's a little more.
Comma. You see, here is where the miracles show up. You see, the text tells us that in the midst of the storm, Jesus shows up walking on the water by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Spirit. Jesus does something that they didn't know was possible. Helping somebody this morning, because somebody here, Jesus is about to do something more that you didn't even know. His divine nature that will allow him to stand and walk on the Jesus. Now check it out. Jesus is unhindered by the waves.
That's right.
Yeah. He is unbothered by the wind.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Walks on the water.
That's right.
Yeah. To save his people.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on, are you in the boat? Are y'all in the boat? Ah, you see, let me help you. I want to help to bring some clarity to that statement that says he intended to go past it.
Yeah.
I don't want to take a chance on anybody leaving this morning and reading into that statement, because when you read it in the English, it sounds just like he's just about to walk on by and leave them stranded in their struggle. That's what it sounds like. But if we were to read it in its original language, we would see, come on here, Minister Karen, we would see that what he is really saying is that he desires to come alongside.
That's right.
Oh, God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God sent his son to come and walk alongside you. So when he does, is that he becomes parallel to the boat. Come on. Are y'all in the boat? Are you in the boat? I'm just asking the question this morning. He comes along parallel because he wants to test their faith.
That's right.
Come on. He wants to see if they would recognize him and his supernatural power, his supernatural strength, and invite him into the boat. I just need somebody to hear that this morning. You see, Jesus is our forever rescuer. But when we find ourselves in a jam, y'all know what a jam is? Anybody ever been? Jesus is our forever rescuer. It is he who will come through. It is he who comes alongside of us and carries us, because he knows about our struggle and he knows about our weakness. You see, the reason I can stand here feeling real sure about what I'm telling you is because, somebody was unhindered by the nails. He was unbothered by the lashes. He was unfazed by their old rugged cloth, because he knew if he didn't go the distance, if he didn't die and resurrect, we would still be lost. Yeah, we would. Yeah, we would. You can say with all manner of confidence that he will go through great lengths to rescue us. into your bones. You see, in verses 49 through 51, it speaks about how afraid the disciples were when they saw Jesus walking on the water, because they really thought he was a ghost. That's what the text teaches. They thought he was something out of the ordinary, that they couldn't quite grasp who he was. But as soon as Jesus spoke, he began to speak comforting words. He said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. I need somebody that's in the boat this morning. Somebody said the wind and the waves obey this man. What manner of man is this that he can talk to the wind and the waves, and they begin, come on y'all in the boat, they begin to settle down, everything calm down, glory to God. And the Bible says that they were simply amazed, Sister D.D. Storm in your life. Sees.